Hello and welcome to Tales from the Pit, the behind-the-lens access to the entertainment world and the creative people involved. Today is our part two with Studio 666 director BJ McDonald. We hope you enjoy the episode. Did you have any, was there any, like, I mean, you have such great guests. I kind of don't want to say who they are for people who haven't seen it yet, because they're, I mean, they don't want to spoil anything, but you have such great guests. Was there anybody you couldn't get that you wanted?
Oh, let's see. Well, so it's funny because the guy that plays the delivery guy, we went through a whole gambit of who we were going to get. We didn't know at first. So at first it was going to be John Travolta. We were reaching out to John Travolta to do the delivery guy. And he was stuck on doing his Quibi thing He was doing a Quibi show. He couldn't do it. And then, funny enough, we actually were trying to get Vin Diesel to do the part. Because actually Vin Diesel lived about two houses down from the mansion that we shot at. And his wife would always come and be like, "Hey, what's putting in the movie?" And then time kept going. I was like, "Well, are we going to get him? And they're like, "Well, no one's, like, he hasn't signed on yet," or whatever. And it's like, okay. So I kept telling the guys, I kept saying, like, when we were trying to find this actor for it, I said, "Let's call Will Forte because he'll be great at it." Oh, yeah, and he was always kind of a choice that I wanted. But I think that everybody's like, you know, Dave and them were trying to go with, you know, John and all that stuff. But because I had worked with Will on MacGruber and a couple other projects, and he's just an awesome guy. And so whenever, you know, Vin Diesel decided he wasn't going to come do the movie, I reached out to Will, and Will was like, "Yeah, let's do it." You know, so I got what I wanted there. But it's just kind of funny when the process of, like, who you think was going to be playing these parts. I thought we were going to have John Travolta in a long wig and, you know, doing that. We were talking about getting the singer for Nickelback to do the part.
Oh, Chad, really?
Chad Kroeger. Yeah, we were going to get Chad Kroeger to do the part too.
Oh, man, those are all awesome. Every one of those would have been great. But I think Will's awesome, especially when he's sitting there talking about his demo CD through the whole thing. That's just so good. Will's so good.
I love that. I love Will. He's so awesome, like, just to work with. He's such a good, like, super down-to-earth, cool guy. Right. Like, and he's just fun to be around. You know, I was surprised we had Jenna Ortega, because, like, she was the one that we didn't know anything really about, because, you know, I wanted the movie to open as a movie, like something that people weren't expecting this to open. I wanted it to be very, like, graphic and have an emotion to it. And so me and my wife sat and watched demo tapes that we got from the casting agent. And, you know, we saw a bunch of people, and then we saw Jenna in that show, You, a performance that she was doing. I was like, "We need that girl. She's awesome." And we gave her a call and talked to her, and she came out and did it. And so we got lucky, because it was like right before she, like, completely blown up now, you know. She probably never get to work with her again. She was great.
Ah, yes. Everyone in that is so good. Everyone's good. And John Carpenter as the, you know, producer or whatever, behind the soundboard. That's so awesome.
That was dream come true level stuff right there.
Yeah, totally. And he's like a big gamer too, isn't he? Isn't he like
he loves Borderlands.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, you and I were briefly talking about gaming, so I guess we can probably go there. What's your games? What do you like for games?
Right now, me and my wife are playing Horizon Zero Dawn Forbidden West. Yeah. Love it, because we love the first one. The first one was awesome. This one's even, you know, I think we're going to beat it tonight, I think. I think we're right there. But we love Dying Light, Dying Light 2. We love the Far Cry games, you know, Fallout games. We love, you know, like, I love the Assassin's Creed games. Like, I absolutely, like, Black Flag is number one.
Me too.
It's so good. You know, I want to try to get the Deathloop. I'm going to try to play that soon. I haven't played that yet. But there's so many good games coming out, and I'm excited. You know, I'm a PlayStation person, but I'm really excited about this. I think it's called Starfleet or whatever that's coming out for Xbox. It's like, it's basically like Skyrim, but like insanely massive, where you can go to like 1,000 planets. So it's basically a game that will never end. I love Skyrim also.
Skyrim, I'm totally, and No Man's Sky right pushed together. Yeah, totally. Totally.
That's what it is. It's basically No Man's Sky. Yeah.
And you know, with Bethesda, I mean, all their games are so cool. I mean, I love every Bethesda game there is. Absolutely.
I love them. I love them and Ubisoft. I think they're like, those companies are so great. And I'm you know, I love video games. So
are you doing the VR stuff at all? The PlayStation VR?
I haven't gotten into that stuff because I feel like I'm going to vomit. I'm going to puke.
I bought it, and it's just such a hassle. I love it. It's super cool, but it's just such a hassle to plug everything out, take all these cords out and stuff like that. But it looks really awesome. It's really cool.
I think I would probably be scared to death to play Resident Evil on the VR stuff. The last two Resident Evil games would just scare the crap out of me if you played that in VR. That would be absolutely horrifying. But I'd probably puke too. So
yeah, totally. Yeah, well, I played Skyrim in it, and movement does. I have to really focus on not getting sick to get through it, because it does get to me.
It totally does. You know, but yep. I mean, dude, video games are almost better than movies now. You know, like
absolutely, yeah.
The storylines are so awesome. Like, they're so fun. They're so good. I mean, Horizon Zero Dawn, God, I wish I could direct that movie. It's such a good story. Like, it's such a good story.
And that's in production, too.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I just read that.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. And, you know, I'm excited about The Last of Us TV show coming out, because we love The Last of Us. That opening scene in Last of Us 1 is like a tearjerker. I remember me and my wife, when we first played that, we looked at each other and we're like, I'm not crying. You know, it was so gnarly. That opening sequence was brutal and just a tearjerker. So anyways, yeah, big time video game nerd.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. I was fortunate enough back in 2000 to work for Microsoft up in Seattle. So I was part of the Xbox original launch team. So I got to play a lot of the, you know, I got to play Halo and a few other games before they actually were released, when they were still in beta testing and stuff like that. That was so cool to be part of that. But I've been a huge gamer as well. I just watched the Xbox just did their game summer gaming thing a couple days ago.
Yes.
There's a lot of cool.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I saw the Starfleet thing. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, forget it, guys. I'm out. Like, I'll disappear forever. I'm going to be playing that forever, because it's never going to end.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So jumping back to the Foo Fighters stuff, the movie. So you guys started it before COVID, finished it after COVID or during COVID, and then released it this year, which is 2022. I think I remember Dave talking about in his book, reading in his book, that he was that based on one of his story or one of his experiences in his book about a house he lived in back in Seattle way back in the day. Do you know?
He talked about that, but I don't think it was really, I don't think he was really basing it off that. Maybe he was, I don't know. I mean, we never really talked about the scary house he lived in Seattle, you know, or anything like that. What came up was because he was renting out this house, and they recorded Medicine at Midnight at the house we shot the movie at. So as we were having meetings during the movie, like I would be walking around the house and they were still finishing up recording this album. So I'd be like, walk in and be, oh, hey, what's going on, Rami, you know, or, you know, Chris or whatever. And, you know, be walking around, figuring out where we're going to do certain scenes. And I guess that Dave in the house, because it was a weird house, like he was sitting there thinking, you know, we never done a horror film or done a movie. And someone, I think, approached him a long time ago and saying, Dave, you should do a horror movie. And so being at that house, he just kind of came up with the idea. And that's how it all kind of came about. At least that's the story I know. Now, maybe he has other stories about haunted houses he lived in, but we didn't really go into those details.
So on that, you were strictly the director, or were you also running camera and stuff like that? How big a crew did you have?
We had a legit crew for this. It was a proper movie, you know, to do this. And but I find what I've learned is that if I'll jump on a camera every now and then when I'm directing, but I have a problem with focusing. I'll admit it too. It's like if I'm looking at framing, I'm looking at framing. I'm not looking at performance, and I have to actually make sure I like this, even though I like, you know, I'm a very, very into, composing the shots, and I'm very particular about certain things. I also trust the people that are on the set with me, regardless of who it is. You get the people around, surround yourself with the best people you can. And that lets me focus more on what my actors are doing and the performances that are going on and what I need, or if there's something I miss or things like that. Because once I put the Steadicam on, now I'm just looking at the edges of frame and what's in frame and making sure there's not a boom coming into the shot, or there's, you know, some, or a light, you know,
continuity or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I have to really, I find it better for me not to operate on my own things that I direct, just because I need to make sure I focus on my performance and performers and who's, you know, doing what on there, because that's what I'm there for. It's not to be the camera operator. And I find myself finding, like, watching good camera operators. And I was really happy with who we had on 666. You know, it was, it's fun to watch them get creative and watch them get so excited about it, because I look at that and I go, well, you know, because some of them were, you know, one of my friends was just a new camera operator on that. And I loved watching the enthusiasm and the want and how happy he was when the shots would, like, work, and how passionate he was about this project. And, like, you know, watching people be passionate and having a good time on something that you're the leader of and directing, it means a lot to me, because I know that people are having a lot of fun on it, you know, because if you're not having fun, then why are we doing it? You know, right. And this movie was so fun. And I had so many people all the time at the end of the days to come and be like, hey man, I just want to let you know, this is the most fun I've had on a set in a long time. And for me to go to hear that from a crew member, as me being a crew member, I take that home with me. I just go, man, I'm so happy that I'm not at the end of the night, people not talking to me. And next thing I know, people are like, that guy's such a jerk, you know, and that's who I don't ever want to be. So it means a lot, you know, for that.
I think it shows too in the production and the quality and all that stuff too. So it really translates well too. When it comes to the, now you had experience through music videos with Slayer, but you're now shooting you're now shooting a movie with musicians. And now we're talking about acting and stuff like that. A challenge there? I mean, you don't have to talk about anything you don't want to talk about, but was there any uniqueness there, or were they, you know, pretty good to go, or what?
Well, I knew Dave was going to be fine, because I knew Dave from, like, just seeing him, because he's done a bunch of stuff, you know, and I knew the guys would be fine because they had done music videos. They've been in front of the camera. And the one thing that me and Dave and the guys talked about was, look, we're making a basic throwback to, like, a Beatles movie or a Monkees movie those kind of things where, we all know the acting is not going to be, like, amazing, you know, and we're not going for that. I'm not trying to win the best performance, you know. Okay, I might win a Razzie, who knows, but, like, I'll take it. But it's like, we knew that we were going into doing something that was really mimicking the old school band films. And that was what we really wanted to do, because there hasn't been a band movie in a long time that kind of did that. There hasn't been, like, a Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. There hasn't been, you know, we had Spice World, I think, is the last thing that we've really seen as, like, a band movie.
Yeah.
And that was the whole shtick of this thing, was just go in there and make a movie starring yourselves. And that's the other thing I told the guy. I said, look, you're playing yourselves. You're not creating a character. You're playing who you are. And so a lot of times with the script at hand, I'd say, you know, hey guys, we're going to follow the subject here, but just you guys say what you would say to one another. You guys say, you know, like, don't worry about this. We can improv this. And that's how we got a lot of the fun performances out of the guys, because then they kind of let their hair down and they would start bagging on each other and joking around with each other on set and having more fun with the movie. And I thought that was really important to make sure that the guys were having a good time also on set. And, like, I mean, we laughed all the time just because of the things that people would say and things that would go on. It was a total blast. You know, it's so funny because, you know, like, you look at reviews sometimes, and, like, I always say this, it's like, my favorite thing is seeing somebody that reviewed Studio 666 and talks about how bad the acting is. And it's just like, so you're the guy that doesn't really understand what we're out there trying to make.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. So it's just like, next, please. You know, it's kind of funny when you see that, you know, it's like, no guys, we're making this cool old school band movie that happens to be very graphically violent.
I, as a musician, I felt that it was extremely authentic, and that's why I was asking this, because literally the things that they are saying to each other are exactly what you would hear in a practice room during a set, during a rehearsal, whatever it is. You would hear the same exact style of banter and all that stuff. So I thought it was extremely authentic. I thought that was so funny. And, you know, I think their delivery, even if their delivery is not an actor's delivery of them, you know, screaming and seeing blood getting thrown everywhere and all this stuff, I thought it was just so hilarious the way they delivered that stuff.
I would always have to amp up Pat, which is like the best. I'd be like, because like sometimes Pat would just be like, you know, and it would just be like, I'd be like, no, Pat, these are demons. You got to make sure that you're freaked out. And so Pat sometimes would just go from like this one level and then he'd go, oh yeah, you're right. And then the next take, it would be this enormous like scream and like freak out. And it was just like, this is, and that's exactly what you want. You want like him to go like way over the top. I love the over the topness of Pat. And we just kind of went with that and thought it was like the best thing ever when he would do that. It's funny because then we were doing ADR and Pat came up to me and like we had to do a couple of his lines. And I go, all right, Pat. And I didn't even think about it. I go, so we're going to get you just to scream a couple more times just for some background stuff whenever we don't see it. He goes, I can't. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, ever since Studio 666, I screamed so much and so hard on that movie that it totally destroyed my, I can't scream anymore.
No.
And so I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You want that over the top, almost cartoonish stuff. You know, his delivery is so good too. He's so freaking funny in that, but you also go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying, and the movie, that's what the movie is. We wanted it to be a silly, fun movie, but when it gets nasty, it gets really nasty.
Yep.
And the people that get this movie, the people that don't, they're just like, wait a minute. Well, I thought I was watching The Witch. Yeah. Like, no, you're not watching The Witch.
Not even close. Definitely. With Whitney, you got a sex scene with the band member and stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure those guys are no strangers to those types of things, but to act it out on camera and stuff like that, I'm sure it's very uncomfortable for them, everyone involved.
They were very nervous that day. They both were very, very nervous that day. Yeah. And it was just, it was really funny, but they were good. They're such good sports, you know, about all the stuff that we just went in there and just had a blast and let them do their thing. Rami was so, like, you could tell he was very nervous. Even Whitney was very nervous, but we went in, we always had fun. We always knew we were going to have a good time. There was no stress there, the good thing about this kind of movie is it's not one of those things where it has to be a deep or dark, like heavy feeling. We're in there having fun. So you can have fun with it and you can actually joke about with yourself and do stuff. I mean, Rami, we shaved his chest hair into a heart. You know, he let us do that, which is crazy. Like, we really did it. Like, full on.
Yeah. I laughed out loud when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what I would expect it to.
Oh, it's full on Rami. Yeah, it was great.
So you guys finish shooting, you get everything done. Now the editing process happens for that. Is the band involved with the editing process? Are you just editing yourself? What's that process post?
We went through post and basically it's just like anything you do. You basically cut the movie. You say, all right, here's our first cut. You give it to the people and it's a really long cut. I mean, the movie is long. It was hard to like not make it long. We made a 90-minute version, but it just was so choppy.
Yep.
But you basically, you edit a movie, you send it for notes, you get the notes, you try to retake those notes and you go back in. And we cut a couple different versions of the film. You have to play ball. It's not only with Dave and with the band guys. And Dave had a lot of input with what he wanted to do and he was very happy with it. But then now the management, food management would watch it and they would give us their notes and they had never done a movie before. And so like we'd go, okay, we'll entertain that note, do this and that. And then, it was just whoever would give us notes and then the editor would give us some notes. We'd do that. We'd always, it's just the same thing. You play around with stuff. And a lot of times you find great stuff when you just don't think about it. And you go, you get a note from somebody, you go, oh, let's try that. And then you find out like, oh man, you know what? This is cool. Like I didn't even think about that, but now this is working better in this way or that way. And so, it's just like editing anything. Like we didn't just go movie edit, voila, we took a lot. We wanted everybody to have a say so in it. I mean, it's Dave's movie. So I want to make sure he was number one. I wanted him to be happy and the Foo Fighters.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great movie.
It's so fun.
So let's move on from that. And let's talk about the movie I just saw, which is probably going to be the biggest movie of this year. Probably, who knows the way it's going, but Top Gun, you were part of it. I think one of the most seen videos of that movie is the jet flying over you and your hair flying up with the headphones on. I didn't even realize that was you until recently. And I was like, oh my God, I've seen that a million times. But
that was nuts.
So let's talk about your involvement. Cause you shot that a long time ago, right?
So that's a whole thing. So a lot of people don't realize that I got, there was a lot of people on Top Gun. That movie had shot for a long time. I think, and so I didn't do the initial shooting of Top Gun. Okay. Like I wasn't involved in that at the very beginning of that. I was off doing studio and like working on that. But then whenever they got, then they wanted to do reshoots. And we did a lot of reshoots. And then Claudio, the DP, he called and then they brought me on board to do the reshoot stuff. So I was only there for the reshoots, and which was out in Fallon, Nevada. I did all the stuff in the bar where, you know, where Tom comes to the bar, and everything inside the bar we redid. I did the opening and the ending of the movie at Maverick's airplane hangar. I did a couple other things, and it's funny because like there's so many people that got to work on that film. The list would have been ginormous. You know, I was just happy to actually get a call to be on the reshoots part of it and get to see the things that I saw, like the out in Fallon when we actually shot that stuff with the jet. I think Joe Kaczynski, the director, he mentioned it took 2 years to approve the jet flying that low because it was only 30 feet off the ground.
Right. Yeah. That's
insane. And they had to call a Blue Angels pilot in, I believe, to do that shot. And they had to like do something, some kind of modification to the plane to like make sure that it was okay. Because honestly, at 30 feet, you got to think at 30 feet off the ground, the wingspan of that plane is 45. He makes any kind of turn, we could have been wiped out cold. You know, we could have done. So it was a lot of planning in that, but that was, I mean, I have to say the extraordinary feat that Claudio and the team and all the camera guys and the whole crew did to make that movie what it is it's pretty extraordinary. I'm just happy to be a part of it. You know,
right.
I would love to have been on the full movie, but that movie shot for so long because sometimes they'd shoot, then they have to stop because they would have to wait on the military. Like they'd have to wait for when they could be available to all go to the aircraft carrier. And I got a call to do the aircraft carrier stuff and I was on another shoot. I forgot what it was. I was so bummed because I wanted to go. I was like, oh, I'm going to miss the aircraft carrier. Cause all I wanted to do was I wanted to get catapulted. And I wanted to land on the carrier. So I'm very jealous of my buddies who got to do that portion of it. But all the camera people and a lot of crew were a lot of friends of mine. And you know, it's fun to like tell the stories, but it was a long shoot. Very long shoot, and it's a great movie. I'm proud of what I got to be a part of on it.
Yeah, I saw it the opening weekend or opening night, I think it was. I forgot. That's a visual. We live in a world that has so much visual effects and CG and stuff like that, which I think is great. I love all those things too, but to see it practically inside the cockpit in real time is just so stunning on a IMAX screen or something like that. Just so stunning.
Yeah. It's amazing. I text Claudio right after I saw it, the director of photography. And I said, you better start getting that speech ready for the Academy Awards, buddy. I was like, because it was outstanding. Like just the shots and things like that, just being in there, being outside the plane, just is so amazing. And you know, I don't know when the next movie like that's ever going to come around. Like, cause he had to have a lot of permission to go to mount those cameras on the planes. And it was a lot of planning on that. And it's funny cause I talked to Claudio and he's always excited because when they were on the aircraft carrier, he would be like, oh, they actually would like, they told me I couldn't like turn the carrier like for certain sun angles. And then he finally like started talking to like the head up guy and they finally would do it for him a little bit. So they get a camera just so the sun was in the right spot. So it's funny talking to a director of photography like that kind of stuff. Cause he gets so giddy about that. He was so excited about getting the aircraft carrier turned in the right direction for the sunlight.
That's so cool. Yeah. It's so beautiful too. Catching that golden hour sunset or whatever it was. So awesome.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know, that's, and so anyway, so that movie, you know, it's doing mega, mega well at in the theaters. And it's possible it may be one of the biggest movies of the year.
I think it deserves everything that it gets. Yeah. That movie, because it's, again, like you said, it's the practical part of it is, I mean, because you don't see that a lot now, like in trying to do that, it's like, it's just so, it was such a lot to do to make that movie.
And I think a lot of that movie is really sincere in its delivery across not just the actors, about the camera, you know, the shots, everything is very sincere in that movie. And it just looks so well thought out and so well executed, you know, people doing the best work, you know, it's super awesome. And congratulations.
Well, that goes back to our conversation about planning.
Yeah.
You know, true. Yeah. And that's what, and there was, I mean, that was a very well planned movie. Yep.
And congratulations on being that shot of the jet flying over you. I've seen that shot over and over and over again.
Oh, so yeah, that was exciting. We did that a lot. Yeah. And that was the director behind me. And because I remember after we'd done that day, we all got on a plane and we were coming home, and Joe, like, he goes, check this out. Look at this shot. And he showed me that shot. I was like, that's awesome. And it was funny because next thing I know, I started getting texts like a month later, like, dude, your hair's famous.
Yeah, that's so cool. So what are you working on? What do you got going on right now? What's coming up for you for projects? I'm probably skipping a bunch of stuff because I know you have some stuff in post-production that you've probably already done. You talked about Salem's Lot, but anything you can talk about coming or in the plans?
Right now for directing stuff, I'm about to pitch in about a week for a project. I've been reading scripts. There's a couple things I'm trying to attach to. I'm just trying to find the right thing, you know, to do that I want to do something now that's a little more serious, or it's not so horror comedy. I want to, you know, expand a little bit more. So my agents and managers and stuff are like, been sending me some scripts. Some are great, some are not, you know, it just depends. And, you know, hopefully we'll see something soon. Hopefully I'll get something soon, but that's the way this whole business works when you're directing. It's like, you're always trying to pitch something or find something. So that's, you know, I wish I was as lucky to snap my finger and go, all right, I got another job. But it's like, it's always work. It's always trying to work things out. When I'm not on set doing stuff, I'm behind my computer, you know, coming up with ideas and sending it to my writer friends, and or coming up with lookbooks to present to people. It's like, I always feel like I'm trying to do something. So hopefully soon, you never know. It could be a couple of years. You never know. But other than that, I am still camera operating. I'm directing. I'm loving every minute of it. And that's what I do.
And movie making is a long process. I mean, not talking about Tom Cruise, but just in general, it's a multi-year process for a lot of projects, right?
It takes a while. Yeah. I mean, it takes at least films, like feature films, take a couple months to do. Yep. TV shows are hard because those are like 8 months. Sometimes those go on forever. Like it's funny because there's like a lot of people don't realize there's a whole different, there's kind of different crews there. Like you have the TV crew, a lot of people only solely do TV shows. There's feature film people, and that's more where my realm is doing features, you know, and then there's commercial people who just do commercials. And I like to dabble in all of that, you know, it's kind of fun, but it's crazy because there's all sorts of different crews, you know, and the TV crews is like, holy cow. Cause they just, that's a grind. I always think that's kind of a bit of a rough one because they go for so many months and they just get so worked so hard, and then they're off for like 2 months, and then they're back at it again, you know, for the next season, and they crank it out. You know, where features, it's like, okay, it could be 3 months, it could be 5-7 months, you know, and then you're done with it forever. Like, that's it. It's over. And then you're looking for the next thing, whenever you want to do that thing.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Dude. Some amazing, you've got so, I mean, there's a million things we could talk about here, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. We've already gone on for at least an hour here, but I just want to say thanks a lot for doing this. It's just so cool to see all this stuff and be able to talk to you and kind of see the inside track on a lot of this stuff. Where do people go to learn more about you? Are you on the socials or anything like that?
I do mostly Instagram just because it's all pictures, and I like that more. I used to do a lot of Facebook and Twitter every now and then, but I only use Twitter now if it's like I'm saying, oh, look at this movie's coming out that I did. I rarely go on there. People can yell at me or talk to me on, you know, they could post up on there, but I'm not so big on social media. Instagram I like. So I would say if you want to see the things, you actually will see things, go to Instagram and check it out. It's just under my name.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. When it comes to, you know, productions, and when it comes to, actually, let me ask you this question. When you're not involved with the production stuff, when you're not doing all the filming and creating and also video games, what's your go-to for your hobbies besides those sort of things? What are you doing on your days off or anything like that? What's your passions besides those things?
Oh man, I love surfing. I'm a surfer, big surfer. I snowboard when I can get up to the mountains, go snowboarding like crazy. I used to ride BMX bikes, but I don't do that much anymore. But now I'm looking into getting a mountain bike with actually Jim, the guy I was talking about, that's one of the producers from Studio 666. My wife's like, you gotta get a bike. So we were looking at getting a bike and doing that stuff. Playing video games is a huge pastime, and just writing, you know, like just coming up with ideas and doing that kind of stuff. That's kind of like where I'm at. with my hobbies. You know, I don't get out as much as I used to surfing. I need to get out there more.
I miss
being on the ocean.
Yeah. So, you went to any the recent shows or anything like that? Any of the Netflixes or any of the streaming stuff at all? I recently watched The Boys. I don't know if you've seen any of that stuff. That's crazy. Anything?
I haven't watched all that. Yeah, The Boys I haven't really gotten into, and I know I should. I kind of haven't been watching too much TV, but I did. Me and my wife, we started watching Stranger Things, the new season of that, and trying to watch that, which I've actually really enjoyed what I've seen so far, because I wasn't super pumped about the last season, but this one's kind of cool because it feels like I'm watching more of a horror film, and I don't know if you see any of it, but I've actually really dug, I like this new character, this new bad guy that's in it, this new demon, and it's, I like the style that they have, like, you know, it's cool how, like, the camera work is really good in the show, and I think the storytelling is really well in that show, but that's kind of, like, what I've been watching. We watch a lot of documentaries too, but we always go to like the really dark and sinister ones. Like for some reason, I don't know. Yeah. Well, we make horror films, so who knows, but
sure.
We do a lot of that stuff.
How about The Witcher? Did you watch any of that?
I didn't watch The Witcher. I tried to watch the first episode I don't know if I was just kind of in a mood.
Yeah.
But the first episode was kind of like, wow, man. Like the first shot is like, that's how you're going to open the show. I don't know. Yeah. And I know I should probably give it a chance. But because I do like the game, but I just for some reason didn't get past the first episode. You know, I was a late bloomer with Game of Thrones too, so it took me a long time to actually.
Me too. Yeah,
I was hell bent on not watching that show. And then when I was doing a movie, I was in Georgia. We were doing The Conjuring 3, and my weekends I would binge a season each weekend. And I got through all 8 seasons of that. And finally I was like, okay, now I see what's so awesome about the show. This, you know, it, like season 3 on was like amazing.
Yep. I will say, in regards to The Witcher, the second season quality wise is a major, major step up. I feel you on the first, you know, what I feel you on that second season is definitely a quality step up, but still needs more. One last thing I would recommend, if you're really a fan of the creativity and just the amazing visual and storytelling, is Arcane. Have you seen that? League of Legends?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, dude, that's amazing. Good. Yeah. On every level.
Check that
out. Every level. Okay. Just watch the first episode.
Visually,
story-wise, everything, it's amazing. Yeah, really, really good on Netflix. Well, dude, thanks so much. That. Yeah, I really thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I had a blast. Yeah,
awesome.
It's awesome.
Thanks for watching this episode with BJ McDonald. We hope you enjoyed it. You can check out our other guests and our other episodes on all your podcast locations. On YouTube, just search for Tales from the Pit Podcast, and at talesfromthepit.net. And we'll see you next time.